Hi, this is Anna Herring, and I am the Kids Ministry Director here in Reality Kids. And you are listening to the 2 and 3 year old training. Now, accompanying this training is a PDF that you can follow along with. It's very important that you open that up. So go ahead and click that link, which should be right to the side of this training, and follow along. So again, you are listening to the 2 and 3 year old training, and we are so excited to have you serve with some of the youngest children here at Reality Ventura. These little kids are still so new. They are curious and they are growing super fast. And you get to be a part of their discipleship by showing them the love of God and introducing them to Jesus, maybe even for the first time. This means that you get to play and cuddle and have snacks and sing and do crafts and have stories and so much more. It's very fun. Now, zooming back, let's look at the big mission of Reality Kids. Our mission is to come alongside parents by pointing their children to Jesus, teaching them the scriptures, and demonstrating the love of God. What we mean by this is that we are partnering with parents. And the way that we partner with parents is we are always pointing kids to Jesus, not only in what we teach them on a Sunday, but also in what they experience on a Sunday. So they don't just learn about him, but they experience him. So to help us do that, you can find your lessons online. They are edited in advance, posted online, and prepared for you. So you can find them online at realityventura.com/kids/volunteers. And that will help you first and foremost prepare for the content of that day's lesson so that you can actually teach them about Jesus. But there's another thing we want to teach you, and that's a value that we have in all of student and family ministry here at Reality Ventura. And that's the concept of connection over correction. What that is Reality Kids Ministry and all of student and family ministry places a huge value on connecting with kids. We have observed that if a child does not have a friend, whether that be a peer or a teacher like you, they tend to be a lot more closed off and eager to get out of the class and to leave. Therefore, our first goal is to always, always, always build connection with the children. After that connection has been built and friendships have been made, then they will be a lot more receptive to whatever it is we want to teach them, and maybe even any corrections that are given during the day. And of course, the best way to connect with kids is through play. Also, as you continue this training, you will discover that there are other ways that we try to foster connections so that kids, again, don't just learn about Jesus through the curriculum, but they also experience him on a Sunday as well. So to learn more about this, we've actually provided some previous equippings that we've done with volunteers over the years. Those two equippings are called Defining Key Phrases, where you will learn more about connection over correction, as well as a couple other important values that we have as a ministry, and also the balance between connection and correction. These are not required, but I highly recommend them because they will help give you some insight and inspiration on how to connect well with children and also manage the class so that you could succeed as a volunteer. So with that, let's continue on to the next page where we are going to talk about the different types of volunteers that you'll find in kids ministry. Two of these volunteers you will have in your class, but there are some other ones you'll want to be aware of as well. The first is leaders. So leaders are the main teacher in the 2 and 3 year old class, and they are responsible for leading the kids through each activity of the day. And this includes managing the class as a whole, teaching the story, and leading the worship and facilitating each of the additional activities. So that's craft, snack, whatnot. And they're also responsible for directing and delegating to the assistants as needed. So if they recognize this particular child needs some soothing, then they might say, hey, would you mind going over there and helping them, or, hey, this person needs to go use the potty. Could you please go take them to the potty? They are responsible for managing and delegating that. The second volunteer is the assistants. Assistants are secondary leaders in the class, and they are responsible for connecting with the kids and helping the kids connect with each other. They're also responsible for assisting the teacher and also correcting and redirecting behaviors as needed, especially as the teacher is leading. It's super helpful when the assistant is the one who is going, hey buddy, remember, let's sit on the carpet, or let's sit in the chair, or let's listen while the teacher is talking, or hey buddy, let's sing and dance together, like encouraging the kids to actually participate in the activities. And then finally, there are sidekicks. Now, there are probably never going to be any sidekicks in your room, because all 2 and 3 year olds are similar. Every single one of them could use a sidekick. So we don't provide sidekicks for them. But these are volunteers who work one-on-one with children who need one-on-one support. And sometimes they have special needs, but a lot of times they actually don't. They just need the extra support. And these responsibilities include assisting a specific child, helping that child when he or she is dysregulated, and then help that child have a positive kids ministry experience. Again, there probably won't be a sidekick in your room, but if we ever do have a child that has a severe need, like a physical need, then we will probably provide a sidekick in that room. And then finally, the last type of volunteer you're gonna wanna know about is the coordinator. Now, the coordinator is not a person who is in your room. They are actually a volunteer or staff member who travels around kids ministry throughout the service, checking in on teachers and supporting them as needed. They will introduce themselves at the start of the service and write their phone number on your sign-in sheet where the kids sign in for the day. And if you need them, you can contact them. So say you run out of goldfish for snack, or say you have a crying child or somebody gets injured, you would just text that coordinator and they'll come right on over and support you as needed. So these are the different types of volunteers that you will find in your class. Now, as you're listening, you probably already know which role you have. You might know you're a leader or an assistant. Now, as you listen, keep that in mind as you are hearing the rest of this training, so you know, okay, this is what I should be doing, or what I will be responsible for doing throughout the service. So let's just jump right into Sundays. Now, when you arrive on Sundays, please set yourself up for success by preparing mentally and spiritually before you arrive. Don't come into church on a Sunday that you're scheduled without knowing what the plan is. You want to know what the craft is. You want to know what the story is. You want to be ready to either lead if you are the teacher, or assist that leader if you are the assistant. The lessons are posted online 3 weeks in advance, so you have plenty of time to go online and get ready. Also, please arrive 15 minutes before the service starts wearing your new volunteer t-shirt and lanyard, which can be found in the kids ministry supply room. Now, that room is off of the hallway where all the bathrooms are at, so like the men's and women's restrooms. There's also the kids ministry supply room. That's where you will get your shirt and your lanyard each day. When you get your lanyard, what you're going to do is, it's just like a blank lanyard, and you're going to, like a blank name tag, and you're going to write your name with a wet erase marker. It's going to dry and you won't be able to wipe it off if you just smeared it. It's going to be stuck on there. And you grab a lanyard, put the name tag on the lanyard, and then wear your lanyard throughout the service. Then at the end of the day, you can take that lanyard back to the supply room. There will be baby wipes, and you can wipe off the words, your name, with that baby wipe. So that's all provided, and then it'll be ready for the next person who needs to use it. So that's where the lanyards and t-shirts are at. And then please, when you arrive, also wash your hands to help minimize the spread of germs. And be ready and present to receive children as they arrive. Now, it's important that you arrive 15 minutes before service, because that's when parents start dropping off their kids. Check-ins has opened where they get their stickers, like their name tag, their labels. And a lot of those parents actually that are arriving early have somewhere else they need to serve. They need to arrive in their spot 15 minutes early. they might even be a teacher in another room. And so they need you to be there, all of you who are serving in that room, to be there on time so that they can, you can receive their child, so that they can get to their spot. So please arrive 15 minutes early, ready to receive those kids. And then in your room is a cart. It's a black cart with all of the supplies for that lesson that day. In that cart, you're going to find the printed lesson plan, the crafts, and all the supplies for the crafts, your snack, the activity pages, coloring supplies, tissues, and cleaning products like Clorox wipes or baby wipes, so that you have everything you need for that day. And when you look at that lesson plan, if you look at the document that you should be following along with, this is what your lesson plan will look like. This was our very first lesson plan for the curriculum. And you're going to find the class that you're teaching, 2 and 3 year olds, the lesson title, what we're learning for the day, where it's found in scripture, what our memory verse is, the main point, the image that actually goes with this story. They're always so beautiful. And then finally, the schedules, whether you're serving first service or second service. This is roughly the schedule you're going to want to stick to in order to like make it through the service. There's a lot of playtime at the beginning, and there's a lot of playtime at the end because they're so little and they can't hang in a lesson for very long, but they could play forever. So there is a really sweet, rich lesson time, but there is also a lot of play and connecting because that's what these kids need right now. So if you turn the page, go to the next page. This is the second page of your lesson plan. The very first thing that you'll want to do when you arrive is set up your technology. So in your room is a TV. It has an Apple TV connected to it and an iPad. And these are the instructions for setting up the technology for your lesson, because we do use media. We use worship songs and a story video as part of the curriculum. It's a way to help engage the kids and it makes it more fun. So you will be responsible for setting this up. And if you are having technical difficulties, please contact the coordinator for assistance. So let me just walk through those instructions really quick. You're going to turn on the TV using the remote, and then you're going to turn on the iPad. And the password to get into the iPad is 1954. And then on that iPad, you want to mirror the iPad to the TV. What that means, how you do that, is you are going to use your finger. You're going to swipe from the top corner, top right corner, diagonally to the center of the screen. And this little, like all these little options, this little menu is going to pop up. And you're going to select screen mirroring and then select, it says 3 and 4 year old room. It actually might say 2 and 3 year old room. I don't know if we ever changed that, but select the room that you're in. It's going to be like the preschool room. And then whatever you see on your iPad is going to be what is seen on the TV. And then on your iPad, you're going to exit out of that menu. You're just going to kind of tap outside of it, and you're going to select Google Slides and find the current preschool lesson, and they are all dated. So it'll say like, for instance, the date on this lesson plan is January 4th, 2026. You're going to look for the one that says 1-4 and preschool. And that's going to be your slideshow. So that is how, and then as you, when you open up Google Slides, you are going to then select present to external display. And the slides from that slideshow are now going to be nice and clearly viewed on the TV that's in your class for everybody to see. So that's how you do that. If you're having struggles, if you need to be walked through it, some of the assistants in your room might know how to do it if you're the leader and having to do it. Assistants, you might be super comfortable with technology. Go ahead and help the leader. If all of you guys are struggling, please just call the coordinator and they would be happy to assist you. Now, after that, families will start arriving. Excuse me. And they'll start checking in. So families should have already received their name tags and security labels prior to arriving. So as they're arriving, please welcome the parents and their child and have the parents sign in on the sign-in sheet. If a child is crying at check-ins, You can encourage the parent to come in to introduce them into the space, help them to transition into your care so that the parent can go to church. So let them come in. We have a present parent / guardian policy, which means the parents or the guardians can come into the room with their child, help them transition. And then we want you to be present with them as well to further help that transition. Now, typically it's going to be the leader who is doing the check-ins, like having the parents sign in the names and greeting the families. So assistants, it's really important for you to just take initiative. You have permission to take initiative, to step in, welcome that crying child, help like distract them and bring them into the room with that parent so that that child can transition as best as possible. So please, assistants, help with these transitions. Don't wait for the leader to direct you or for the leader to do it themselves, because they need to be present elsewhere. And on this page, this is just a sample of what our sign-in sheet will look like. You can see there's a name column, a security number column. That's the number that's on their check-ins label. Their name tag and on the guardian label. And then when they get checked out, they'll initial at the end. We'll go over that in a bit. Now, while the kids are getting checked in, we also have free play. So the kids just get to play in the room, and we also have activity pages. This is a great activity for kids to do. It's just their coloring page and then put their name on it, and then they can go home with that activity page at the end of the service. Now, after check-ins and playtime is snack. So while kids are arriving, it's actually helpful to have one volunteer setting up the snack in advance. But once it's set up and it's time for snack, or just like it feels right, sometimes we start snack earlier because there's just so much playtime at the beginning. Get the preschoolers, what you want to do is first get the preschoolers' attention and have the kids clean up. It's really important to clean up ahead of time. That way they won't be distracted later during other activities. And a really simple way to help them get involved, they're honestly really good at this, is singing the cleanup song to encourage them to help clean up. And normally, the kids are stoked to be a part of that. But, you know, obviously there's going to be a 2-year-old who has no idea what's going on, and because they're just learning. And so you're there to teach them and shepherd them in that moment to help them help everybody else work together to clean up that room. And then you're going to lead the children to the table to sit before passing out the snack. So once they're sitting at the table, before passing out the snack, explain that it's snack time and you will be passing out the snack, but do not eat anything until after praying for the snack. So how that sounds when I'm teaching that class is, okay guys, we're going to sit down. I'm going to pass out the snack, but please don't eat anything. We're going to wait. Are we going to eat snack when we get it? No, we're going to wait. And just kind of like reminding them and teaching them and explaining to them, like, this is the expectation. Now, obviously, these are 2 and 3-year-olds, so they will not do this perfectly, but this is a good practice. And that's okay. And then after praying, let the kids eat. One thing I love to do during this time is also like letting the kids help me. Sometimes that's hard because holding 2 cups of something, like have them help pass out the snack and the water and the napkin. Sometimes they might get a little messy, but that's kind of okay because they're just learning and we're having a good time. Now, just a reminder, the snack that the kids will be provided will be Goldfish. You will have a 5-ounce cup. To put the Goldfish in, and there are Chex available for kids who are gluten-free. Chex are actually substantially more expensive than the Goldfish, so if a child asks for Chex, even though they're not gluten-free or dairy-free, just kindly say, I'm sorry, it's only for kids who are gluten-free, because they are more expensive. And then if they want more snack, you can give them a 1/2 cup more later. That's how you do snack time. But then after snack time, it's time for our circle time. And this is the meat of the time in class. And it can be a little chaotic at times, and that's okay. Because we're here to learn about Jesus. We're here to show the love of God. We're here to have fun. And so this is the structure for this time. Several time is when we worship God and learn the story for the day. So what you're going to do is have the kids come to the carpet. It is also helpful for some of the wigglier ones to sit on chairs around the edge of the carpet because they just need that boundary. So if you are a leader, you are responsible for leading this time. This includes welcoming the kids with the welcome song, which we'll go over in a moment, teaching the story, practicing the memory verse song, and leading the kids in worship. And if you are the assistant, you are not just a warm body in the room. You are actively participating as well. You've got to have eyes for the kids during this time. You are responsible for assisting the leader. You do this by joining in all the fun and encouraging the kids to do the same. This includes singing, dancing, listening, engaging, and helping redirect the preschooler's attention. There might be a kid that just decides they want to go back to the toys. So we're going to try to lovingly direct them over there. Or maybe somebody says they have to go potty. Okay, let's help them go potty, but let's try to reintroduce them back into the group. So assistants, you are there to do that because the leader is going to be, they're going to have their hands full with leading this circle time. Now, before I share about what's happening in circle time, I just want to give you a pro tip. Two-year-olds have a 2-minute attention span and 3-year-olds have a 3-minute attention span. Therefore, keep each one of these circle time activities brief but fun. And the more, just keep in mind, the more engaging your time is with the kids, the more engaged the kids will be. So, leader, if you are teaching this time, be praying in advance, preparing in advance. How do you want to present this? You might want to supplement what I have here. What I've provided is just the basics. But if you have unction and creativity and an idea to like capture these kids' attention in a bigger way, like by all means, you are welcome to do that and encouraged to do that. And so let's go into circle time and learn about what are the different steps that we are going to take. What are the things we're going to do? The first is we're going to gather the kids on the carpet and we're going to sing a song called Who Came to Church Today? And this is just a way to like recognize each child. It takes a little time, but we've got the time and the kids love it. And it goes like this. This is the song. It goes, who came to church today? Church today, church today. Who came to church today? What's your name? So when you sing the song, the kids are going to actually clap and hit their legs on beat. So it's going to actually sound like this. Who came to church today? Church today, church today. Who came to church today? What's your name? And when you say, what's your name, you're going to point to a specific child and make sure they have eye contact so you know that you're talking to them and they can say their name. And then you say, oh, this is Harper. And then you say, I say, everybody say hi, say hi, Harper. And then all the kids go, hi, Harper. And they wave to her. And then you begin again. Who came to church today? Church today, church today. And so on. And you go through each kid in the room. And if you have time, I would also encourage you to go through all of the leaders so that the kids can learn the leaders' names as well. So that's just like a really good, again, connection building activity before we even start the lesson. This will take more than 2 or 3 minutes, but it's very engaging and the kids love it. Okay, then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to introduce the story. You're going to hold up, you're going to open in prayer, a very brief prayer, like, dear Jesus, thank you for today. Help us learn our story. In your name we pray, amen. And then hold up a Bible and tell the kids, okay, today's story is a true story, and it's actually found in the Bible. And then like show the kids the Bible, let them look at it, touch it, whatever. And then say, we're going to learn our story through a video. And then you're going to push play on your slideshow, on your tablet. You have an iPad. Push play on the iPad and the video is going to show. And you can see these videos in the lesson plan in advance because, again, you have access to all of this 3 weeks before the week even comes. So then they're going to watch the story. At the end of watching the story, you are going to briefly review or retell that story. We have provided storytelling images. And again, this is found online in advance for you. These are numbered storytelling images and reading prompts. And on one side is a picture to hold up. And then on the back side, it's what to review about that picture to tell the story. So the kids, you're not like looking down at a paper. You're holding up an image, reading the back side of the image so that the kids can stay engaged in that moment. And you don't look like you're like looking down, which can discourage kids from paying attention. And you're going to basically go through each one of those pages retelling the story. And again, if you want to supplement this, by all means, go ahead. You are very much so encouraged to do so. And then you kind of conclude with some discussion questions. Like, what did you like about today's story? Was there anything you liked? And they're not going to answer very much. And that's okay. They're just learning how to have a discussion about the story. We could be like, what did you learn about God? And then finally, there's going to be one very specific question that has to do about the story. And so this one for this week is, what did God call everything he made? And the answer to that is he called it good. So that's your discussion time. Again, just 2, 3, 4 minutes. And then you're gonna have a memory verse song that will be repeated throughout every like 4 to 6 weeks. We'll get a new memory verse song. And then, so you'll want to make sure you all know that memory verse song and memorize it with the hand motions before you come. And then worship. There are worship videos with hand motions, again, in that slideshow, and you're going to lead the kids in worship. Now, again, if you're leading and you want to supplement this, go for it. If you want to like rearrange this because you know it just flows better for your kids, go for it. I have in the past done the memory verse song before I did the story, and that worked really well for that Sunday. There are some times when the teachers actually want to start with the songs and end with the story, and that works too. But we just want to make sure that during this time, we are learning our story. Jesus is the center. We're worshiping him and we're learning a memory verse song. That's really the heart of that time. And then after that, it is then time to transition to craft. Now, after the lesson, bring the kids back to the tables for the craft. And leaders will oversee the craft unless they recognize an assistant who would like to grow in their leadership skills. So leader, if you're like, wow, there's a junior hire here or a teenager that just is like, I can see that they could lead something and you want to support and supplement and like encourage that, ask them if they want to lead craft and then give them feedback afterwards to be like, okay, this was really good. You could have done this a little differently to help engage that one kid. Or what do you think you could have done differently in that moment that would prove challenging? So you're welcome to like delegate that if somebody wants to lead something. So the craft that's provided here, the sample craft, they made a creation crown and it shows you the supplies that are going to be provided. Number one is going to be something you say to help transition, introduce the story. So this one says, today we learned Jesus is Lord over all creation. Everything was created by him and for him, and he rules everything. So today we are going to make a craft about all the days of creation. And then there are very strategic and specific instructions that are written out. So you know the best way that we could think of to present this craft so that you and the kids don't get overwhelmed and confused. So here are my pro tips, and they might seem obvious, but they're actually like, sometimes we just forget them when we get busy with the kids. And so I just want to make them known here. The first one is assign one person to each table. Like, don't be roaming around, like have one of the assistants in each table. So that the volunteers aren't spread too thin and the kids have immediate access to help if they have a question or need help. Number two is always, always, always read the craft and instructions. That sounds really weird, but sometimes people don't read the instructions and they're like, that was too hard. And we're like, well, did you follow the way it was written? Because it shouldn't be that hard how we wrote it out. So there might be some really good pointers on how to do the craft in those instructions. The third thing is don't pass out all the crafting supplies at once. 2 and 3 year olds can only handle one step at a time. So lead the kids only one step at a time. And then finally, interact with the kids at your table, with all the kids at the table, not just one. Sometimes we like have the one that's like talking to us the most, or we just really connected with them. But we really need to be mindful of all of the kids present and help all of them, not just that one that stands out. And so that's how we do craft. And then finally, we have a lot of free time until pickup. So we have some optional activities you could do with the kids. So all of these activities do need to be supervised, but you can just set them up on a table and kids are welcome to do them, or they're welcome to play in the class. You just need to make sure there's a person, again, present for these supervised activities. So this could include Play-Doh, finger paints, balloons, bubbles, dot paints, something else that comes to mind. And so a lot of these supplies are actually found in your cabinet in the classroom. The cabinets are childproofed, so just open the middle drawer and you can pull out a magnet to unlock the cabinets. So there's going to be like little clear dot stickers on the cabinet. Put the magnet over that dot sticker and you can open your cabinet to find those extra supplies inside. And then again, always supervise these activities. Checkouts is the next thing. As parents arrive, you must ask to see that parent's security label and make sure that it matches the child's name tag. Even if you have a relationship with that family, they could be related to you. They could be in your community group. You can go to school with this family. You still need to look at it every single time. Even I do that when I'm checking kids out, even though I know so many of the families. So please always do that. And then once verified, have the parent initial under the checkout column on that sign sheet that we looked at the beginning of this training. And then as kids are leaving, give them their craft to take home and give every child an activity page so that the parents can see what their kids learned, be aware, and then also do some of the activities with their kids on that page if they choose to do so. Now, on rare occasions, a parent may not have their security code. Kindly ask if they know where it is, that they would go and get it. But usually parents are really understanding and will go and get that security label. However, on rare occasions, they might get upset. And if so, simply say something to the effect of, "Oh man, I totally understand your frustration. It is such a hassle. I get it. This is just like a policy we have. We really want to make sure that we're sending kids home and we have to check every person, even if we know them. So you know what, let me just call the coordinator and we'll get this situated really quickly, even though we can't find your receipt." And so then you would contact the coordinator, they would come and then they would verify if that child goes with that parent or not. And again, that's even if you know the families. It's just, we really, really, really need to not get out of the habit, because then one day some parent's gonna come and we forgot to check the label, and like, that can be a problem. We've actually had more parents get upset when we don't check the label than when we do check the label. So please just check the labels. It's can be a hassle. It's usually not. It can be, but we will just take it one case at a time if it does upset a parent. And then finally, the second to last thing is classroom cleanup and reset. At the end of service, please clean up and reset your classroom. The room should look exactly how you found it. Toys in their proper place, counters clear of unnecessary items, floor clean, etc. To learn how to do this, please refer back to the classroom cleanup and reset training that you should hopefully have already listened to, but you can refer to that. Also, the classroom that you're in will have instructions posted on the wall. So if you forget what you're supposed to do, the checklist is right there ready for all of you. And please don't leave until all of the room has been cleaned up. Many hands make light work, and so it's just really helpful if you don't check out early, leaving everything to everybody else. Okay, and then finally, here we are. There's the diapers and bathrooms. Only women are allowed to assist children in the bathrooms, and when changing diapers, you're gonna be with kids who are in process of being potty trained. So some kids will have diapers, some kids will be learning how to use the potty. If they're using a bathroom, there is a bathroom in the classroom for the kids. Volunteers are not allowed to use the bathroom in this classroom for themselves. If physical help is needed, try to verbally coach the child if he or she needs help. If they need help pulling up their underwear or pants, quickly help them and then step back. So just trying to limit physical contact with the child during this time. And never ever help a potty trained child wipe. If a child needs extensive help in the restroom, such as wiping, we'll either need to coach them, you'll need to coach them through it to teach them how to do it, or you're going to need to page the coordinator, who will then page their parents to come and assist their child. But you are not allowed to wipe a child who uses the potty. Now, if they have a diaper, a padded changing table, paper liners, gloves, little diaper trash bags, diapers in a variety of sizes, wipes, and posted instructions are all there to remind volunteers how to properly and safely change a diaper. Everything is provided for you in the room. And the way that we change a diaper is going to be different. It's different than how you would do it at home because there are multiple kids using the same changing table. So we need to limit the germs that are present. So this is how we change diapers, and these instructions will be posted over the changing table for you to refer to each time. So before you even set the child onto the changing table, you're going to need to put a liner on top of the changing table mattress. That liner is found just right under the mattress. So you're going to lift up the mattress, pull out one of those papers. It's like a liner, put it on the mattress, and then you're going to put on gloves. It's not until after you put on gloves, then that you pick up the child and set them on the table. And this should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Never, ever, ever leave a child unattended on a changing table. Best practice is to actually always have a hand on the child to ensure that they stay on the table. They don't roll off or try to climb down or whatever, because these kids are quite mobile. At that time, you'll then change the diaper. The diapers are in the changing table down below. There are different sizes, and if we're ever out of a size, please just let us know so we can restock that. And then put the dirty diaper in small odor blocking bags. They're like little dog waste bags. And then tie it up nice and tight, and then throw that bag along with that used liner after you take the child off the table. Throw that bag and that used liner into the trash can. And then at the end of the day, take out that trash to the trash can in the supply room. So that is how we change diapers. Again, it's women only, and we've never really had any men upset about that. But we just want to maintain, we want to make sure that parents are comfortable dropping their kids off. And so we have women only. We know it's a double standard that men can't, but we're okay with that because parents are a lot more comfortable seeing a woman changing a child's diaper or taking a child to the restroom than if they saw a man. And we just want to protect you guys. And so, we require only women to change diapers. And that concludes your 2 and 3 year old training. Thank you so much for listening. I know this was a long one and you hung in there. This was a lot of information. So if at any point you need a reminder or have questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. That's my job. I enjoy equipping and training volunteers. And yeah, I just really look forward to serving alongside you and supporting you any way that I can. Thank you so much. Bye.